presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Later on today's show, we will give away another Road to Atlanta t-shirt. We believe that that's what Georgia's on. Road to Atlanta again for December, maybe even the end of the month for the Peach Bowl and the college football playoff. Mercedes-Benz Stadium could be crucial for Georgia in its 2019 pursuit for a national championship. And we're doing our part to be in solidarity with that idea with our Road to Atlanta t-shirts. We've already given away one of these. We'll announce another winner today and set you up for another giveaway, a slightly different, I guess, barred across to win today's t-shirt. We'll talk about that later on in the program. Before any of that, though, my goodness, how much fun was this past weekend? Georgia gets two commits. We'll talk about Justin Robinson a little later on. Make sure you also tune in for DN90 on video today as well, because Jeff Sintel has made quite a comparison between Robinson and an all-time great NFL wide receiver. That's all going to be in the conversation today. But maybe the big headline from the weekend, the thing that everybody's going to be talking about, is the fact that Georgia picks up a commitment from a four-star quarterback, Carson Beck. If you're watching on video, I'll show you the way that Beck made this official with his own tweet, his own message app, the way we've kind of come to expect a lot of things to be. Beck puts this out there on Twitter that he's now a Georgia Bulldog and he is all out there and kind of ready to go. Yeah, there you go. You can see that on video. Committed. It's Carson Beck. A really good-looking Twitter edit. All kinds of thanks and excitement from a Beck standpoint. And I guess the question becomes for Georgia fans, how should we all feel about this? Because all of this happened really, really fast. Beck, the one-time Alabama commit, decommits from Alabama. It seemed like, if you follow the recruiting soap opera, and around here that's what we do, it seemed like Beck was on his way to maybe committing to Florida at some point in time this month. Georgia was kind of thought to be maybe in the mix for some other quarterbacks, more on that in a moment. But it seemed like Beck might be on his way to a date where he ultimately commits to the University of Florida. After all, Beck is an in-state product for the state of Florida. That's where it's going to go. Yet Georgia hosts him on his visit. Things seem to go really well on that visit, so much so that Georgia had seen what it needs to see. They made the pitch to Beck. He heard what he needed to hear. And after that, Carson Beck becomes Georgia's quarterback for the class of 2020. If you're interested in the official particulars, I'd invite you to, first of all, check out Jeff Sintel's piece on Beck at DogNation.com. But as far as how the 24/7 Sports Composite team ranking lists him, he's the number 62 player in the country, and that's not so bad, and the number 3 pro style quarterback in the country. So count me as very happy about this for a couple of reasons. A, I love beating up on those lousy stinking Gators. I love going to Florida message boards and hearing the whining and the crying and the belly aching, the gnashing of teeth about Georgia swooping in and taking another commit to Florida like. I wish that I was better than that, but I ain't. I am what I am, and I take great pleasure in Florida's misery, and in this case, Florida's going to be a little miserable about the quarterback they thought they were going to get choosing Georgia, so that is really fun. Also, I like Beck as a player as well. And when you dive in here and you read more about what Jeff Sintel's written about him, what the overall scouting report is on Beck, when you kind of examine a lot of that kind of stuff, you say, wow, for Georgia, who has a quarterback firmly entrenched and in place, and assuming that Jake Fromm doesn't leave after this year to go on to the NFL draft, he could. That's obviously still very much up in the air. But from an eligibility standpoint, Fromm's still eligible to return in 2021. So in some respects, that makes recruiting the quarterback position a little bit difficult. To get a quarterback of this caliber, top 100 player in the country, you know, top 3 pro-style quarterback, from that standpoint, I think as a Georgia fan, you're supposed to feel pretty good about this. A couple other things that I think you're supposed to like about the Carson Beck commitment. First of all, one of the things about a quarterback is there's just a natural gravitational pull other players have towards quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are leaders on the field. They then become leaders off the field almost by proxy, and that also means leaders in the recruiting class as well. Jake Fromm was that for the class of 2017. Justin Fields was that for the class of 2018. And maybe Carson Beck is already showing some signs of being that for the class of 2020. Let me give you an example of that. Darnell Washington is a 5-star athlete from Las Vegas. He was also in Athens this weekend taking a visit, and after leaving that visit was maybe feeling like he wanted some additional fame for himself. So he puts it out there on Twitter. Hey, y'all follow me on Twitter. Everybody follow me. I'd like to gain some more followers. And Carson Beck took this as an opportunity to say, let me get involved here and say, how about you follow me back and let's talk. So Carson Beck doing like quarterbacks are supposed to do, which is get in there and form some relationships with some elite players. And, you know, we have seen quarterbacks be so instrumental in being class leaders. And as Georgia, whose 2020 class had maybe gotten off to a little slower start than some of the other top classes around the South, all of a sudden with the quarterback in place, maybe that starts to change and maybe some other elite names kind of follow suit really soon. Something else that you really like about the situation with Carson Beck is apparently one of Georgia's newest assistant coaches was quite instrumental in the recruitment here. Read more from Jeff Sintel to hear the role that Todd Hartley played in all of this, but let me give you some visual evidence, at least for those of you watching on video, that Carson Beck, the thing that he tweets out, his own picture, this is pre-commitment, by the way. This is before he commits to Georgia, but his kind of what has become the customary, hey, I'm taking a visit to Georgia picture. When he put that on Twitter, the guy that he's posing in that picture with is Todd Hartley. Now, Todd Hartley has quite an odd look on his face in every one of these pictures, but that's kind of fine and dandy as long as he's forging relationships with guys like Carson Beck. So Hartley knows that part of the world that Beck comes from in the state of Florida. They forge a quick relationship, and Hartley apparently ends up being very instrumental in this recruitment. So it's nice to see a Georgia assistant coach already paying big dividends on the recruiting trail. We know that Hartley can do that with tight ends. Now that we see he's going to be a lot like James Coley, who's going to have some real strong ties to the state of Florida, and that's a really exciting thing to think about. Although, let me also be fair and balanced for a moment, because by taking the commitment of Carson back, there's also going to be some natural questions that come to mind. Everybody's going to like the fact that Beck's already recruiting for Georgia. That's going to make you feel really good. You're going to love the fact that Todd Hartley can get in on a quarterback this fast. Everybody's going to like the fact that Georgia can take a quarterback that apparently Florida, I'm assuming the state, the University of Florida, I know Florida fans really, really wanted. That's unanimous approval. Everybody's going to like that. But there are a couple of questions that come to mind. Getting back, what does that mean for other pursuits? Well, I think we probably know the writing on the wall. Once you take this quarterback, what it kind of means for other quarterbacks, but that doesn't mean it's not something at least worth considering. Let me give you a quote from Jeff Sintel, who in writing about Carson Beck's commitment to the University of Georgia brought up another quarterback's name, a name going into the month of March that we had talked about a lot. We even going back to when George Pickens first committed to Georgia, the five-star wide receiver from Hoover, Alabama, a lot of us were saying, ooh, what is that mean for Georgia and Pickens' high school teammate and quarterback Robbie Ashford? Ashford's coming up on a month of March decision at some point in time. Does this mean that Georgia is out of the mix now with Robbie Ashford? Well, Jeff Sintel wrote about that at DogNation.com. Jeff said Alabama QB Robbie Ashford had been trending to choose between Auburn and Georgia this month. But this decision made by Beck on Sunday will undoubtedly complicate that decision. That's Jeff Sintel from Dog Nation. And I would certainly say that's probably true, that I would maybe even take it a step further, not based on reporting, but just my own opinion. Getting Carson Beck means that Georgia's now out of the mix for a player like Robbie Ashford. Ashford, in addition to having the potential choice of Auburn, also has the potential choice of baseball as well. So there are some complicated factors when it comes to Ashford's recruitment anyway, but it would appear in this case that Georgia has chosen Beck over Ashford, or at least what it thinks it's getting from Beck for what might or might not be the case with Ashford. This appears to be clearly a case of Georgia making its choice. And by making the choice with Beck here, it's also getting involved with another pro-style quarterback a year after Georgia seemed to go all in with a dual-threat quarterback in Justin Fields. For some Georgia fans, there's going to be a little bit of disappointment in that of, wait a second, I thought that Georgia was looking to complement its pro-style quarterbacks with that dual-threat quarterback, and at least in the case of the 2020 class when it comes to Carson Beck, that's not exactly what Georgia's going to do. Different fans will have to figure out how they feel about that. But for now, Georgia seems very intent on following up Jake Fromm with a quarterback that in a lot of ways is very similar to Jake Fromm. And by the way, I would also invite you to check out our buddy Connor Raleigh's piece about this at DogNation.com for just how similar the recruiting story of Beck is to the aforementioned Jake Fromm. That was pretty interesting in itself also. I guess the other name that comes to mind in the midst of all this discussion is another quarterback we've discussed briefly here, which is DJ Uiagalelei, the you know, elite quarterback who's been thought to choose between Oregon and Clemson, but maybe George was, you know, kind of in the mix on that as well. I think this is also an example of the writing being on the wall. The fact that Georgia, this early in the month of March, takes Carson back, I think that would lead you to believe that it never thought it was that seriously in the running for DJ Uiagalelei, and the presumed leader the entire time, Clemson. Maybe indeed that's indeed the case. Ultimately, though, maybe all that stuff really doesn't matter quite all that much, because as good as Uiagalelei could be for Georgia, as nice as Robbie Ashford might be for a program like Auburn, that maybe ends up where he's going now that Georgia's gotten Carson back. I think there's enough to like about Beck to maybe not make you worry too much about the Uiagaleleis and the Ashfords and everybody like that. I also think you love the fact that Georgia can make this quick of an impression on a young man all over the course of a visit. You like the idea that the program sells itself that much when a guy's on campus, and that's indeed what seemed to have happened with George and Carson Beck. He showed up, really liked what he saw. Georgia really likes what they see in Beck, and at this point in time, this coaching staff has earned that benefit of the doubt. They have made their choice for the class of 2020. It's Carson Beck, and the best I can tell up to this point, it seems like a pretty good choice for the Dogs. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily. We are the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're glad you're with us. No matter how you get to us today, live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we are available as a podcast pretty much wherever podcasts can be found, including posting the show every day to the world-famous DogNation.com. We just really appreciate you being a part of the program. You know, it was not just recruiting over the course of this weekend, but for the most part on this Monday, at least in the early stage of the show, we're going to deal with a lot of the recruiting stuff. There was a lot of news coming from the NFL Combine, both in terms of Georgia players making their push for NFL futures, but also what these guys said about their time at Georgia. We're actually going to spend a lot of this week talking about some of that kind of stuff. For instance, Mike Griffith's piece with Jonathan Ledbetter at DogNation.com. We can do 10, 15 minutes just talking about that alone. We don't really have time for that today, though, in a day where Georgia picks up two commitments. So stick with us for a busy week here on Dog Nation Daily. That's going to be a lot of fun. Also, as I mentioned, it's Chip Towers in a little bit. We'll go away from the recruiting stuff when Chip joins us, because he had a fascinating conversation with Vince Dooley on the pages of DogNation.com that you may have seen from Sunday. There could be a real big honor coming Coach Dooley's way. I think it's long deserved, and I think it's going to correct an error from Georgia's past. And so we'll do some of that with Chip Towers here coming up in just a moment. Before any of that, though, time to go around the doghouse on this Monday, brought to you by Online Trading Academy. And Carson Beck was not the only commitment that Georgia picked up this past weekend. Georgia also got another commitment as well from Justin Robinson. Robinson made this official on Twitter. We'll show this to you. The really good-looking prospect from Eagles Landing Christian Academy had some nice words to say about UGA. Also made this known that he's going public with his commitment. And seeing Robinson do that this weekend certainly brought to mind that something about what Jeff Sintel said on Friday when he joined us here on Dog Nation Daily. Now, far be it from me to push our show or our content too much here. And, of course, Jeff's not going to toot his own horn very much. Let me toot his horn for him. I thought that Jeff Sintel did a pretty good job of foreshadowing the situation with Robinson when he joined us on the program on Friday. My big question to Jeff was, when you look at Robinson, an athlete, a guy that's played multiple positions at the high school level, a guy who could presumably play multiple positions at the college level, is this guy truly a wide receiver? Well, Jeff let it be known that, yes, that is indeed the case. But in addition to that, Jeff also let us know just how hard Georgia was going after Robinson. And how prophetic does that look now that Robinson is indeed in the fold? Here's Jeff Sintel from Friday.
Clearly a wide receiver. He's 6'4", he's already 210. And just took a visit to Notre Dame. That's maybe the school that is his father's favorite. Georgia is really heavy after Justin Robinson. I know a lot of people right now are having fun with their mock classes and everything like that that they're putting together for 2020 on the Dog Nation Forum. I think the well-informed mock class for Georgia right now at wide receiver, maybe three, maybe four targets for 2020, probably needs to include the name Justin Robinson in there. That's how heavily he's being recruited right now by the University of Georgia.
Man, I'll tell you, that's a heck of a call by Jeff Sintel on Friday, just a day or so before Robinson made his commitment official, saying if you're doing a mock class for Georgia, Robinson's a name you need to have in there. That's a good call by Jeff. That came true just about 24 hours after that, and that's probably worth bringing up. Really good stuff. Also, later in the program, I want to remind you of some of what Robinson said about his own feelings about Georgia and one of the reasons why he really liked UGA. That's going to be worth you checking out. Of course, around the Doghouse here on Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Online Trading Academy, which provides professional instruction, and now you can make money in the market. Students learn a step-by-step approach to trading and investing, which covers a spectrum of trading styles and asset classes. It's both in the classroom and online. So invest in yourself today by checking out Online Trading Academy. Find them online at tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. Later on today on Dog Nation Daily, we'll talk about how we're going to give away another Road to Atlanta t-shirt. We'll let you hear from Justin Robinson in his own words as well. But for now, on some really interesting stuff, including the future of Sanford Stadium and possibly a new look and maybe even a new name for part of the venue anyway, let's talk to Chip Towers right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Busy Monday here on Dog Nation Daily, and it includes Chip Towers right now. And Chip, I read your piece on Sunday with the former coach Vince Dooley. A lot of stuff that got covered there, and I want to touch on a lot of that right now. First of all, I appreciate the fun read there, DogNation.com. If you don't mind, though, let's begin with what maybe is the most interesting part of this, and that is the possibility, I guess, being pushed by some former players that the field, not Sanford Stadium, the name of the stadium, but the field itself, we've seen this with a lot of college football and basketball venues, the field itself might eventually be named Dooley Field. Of course, Coach Dooley kind of, sidesteps that. He's kind of a modest guy. He doesn't want to, talk too much about that. But just to kind of get this conversation kicked off, how realistic do you think this might be that one day it could be Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium for the former six-time SEC champ and consensus national champ in 1980?
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest with you, how realistic it is, B.A. I definitely, there's no question, I have long been a proponent for this, and as you know, I've been around a long time and have been a bit of a historian on this. And actually, I guess it was 2 or 3 years ago, I went to the Richard Russell Special Collections Library and saw a fantastic panel there. I can't remember the guy's name, Sniff, I think it is, an unusual name, but he is an architect and the facilities planner for all of the University of Georgia, which is a considerable job. And he did a fascinating slide presentation there, which was just showing not just Sanford Stadium, but all the facilities. And Vince Dooley was in attendance, as well as some other people. And that architect, he said, this person right here is more responsible for everything that has taken place in the expansion of that stadium and Georgia facilities overall than anybody who's ever lived, right? And it's true, because when Vince Dooley showed up in December of 1963, Sanford Stadium set 35,000 people. In fact, that first season in 1964, they added 7,500 or so temporary seats in what is now the East End Zone to bring it to like 43,000 for the first game in 1964. As we all know, Sanford Stadium now seats 93,000, and most of that is because of Vince Dooley, either because of Georgia winning six SEC championships, certainly winning the 1980 national championship indirectly led to the enclosure of the east end of the stadium in 1981, which really brought it up to, I think at the time, was 82,000 seats. And yet, so anyway, I could ramble on forever about the history of how it got to that point. But the bottom line is, I definitely think at the very least, it should be duly filled at Sanford Stadium just because of all his contributions to it. But there's politics involved.
Oh, yeah.
There's the Board of Regents involved. You know, you don't just, the Sanford family certainly started this whole thing, and I imagine it's my understanding that they don't want any other names on the stadium. And so it's not as easy as just saying, hey, put his name on it, but so we'll see. But I think some sort of honor to that degree, whether it be the field or a hyphenated stadium name, is in order at some point in Georgia's future.
So we don't talk about politics here on Dog Nation Daily, but as a personal hobby, I do love following political soap operas. And Greg Bluestein of the AJC recently reported on how Don Liebert and two others, Liebert, of course, probably more well-known to our audience because he is a very famous Georgia booster, very, very rich guy who's been an influential booster of Georgia, has been on the Board of Regents. But it looks like in the future that's not going to be the case anymore. According to Bluestein's reporting, at least he's temporarily going to be ousted because of some, you know, political stuff and some maneuvering and whatever else. Liebern is thought to be, I think it's fair to say, an enemy of Dooley's. If Liebern is indeed off the Board of Regents, does that make this all more possible? And I guess a bonus question, Chip, is that part of the reason why Liebern might not be on the Board of Regents anymore?
Well, now the second part of that is the really hard one to answer, right? Because I mean, you know, I don't think anybody would ever admit it, even if that were the case. And you know, I asked Coach Dooley about it. You know, I mean, it's kind of awkward to ask somebody like that, but I went ahead and asked him because Brian Kemp and the Dooleys are extremely close. Brian Kemp grew up in that house on Millage Circle to some degree, best buddies with Daniel Dooley and Barbara Dooley and Brian Kemp's mother, very, very close friends and all that. And then, you know, the Dooleys are outspoken Republicans, and now that he's not athletic director and directly associated with the university, you know, he can stump and campaign, which they did to a great degree for Brian Kemp. And so, you know, there's a narrative out there that this is Brian Kemp's way of taking care of that. You know, the other side of that, though, is just that, just from a political standpoint, you know, the way Nathan Deal reappointed those three regents you alluded to there, Don Liebern, Dean Alford, and Richard Tucker, was kind of underhanded, you know, just weeks before you had a change and, you know, supposedly it was illegally done. So, you know, he had it undone. Nobody's ever going to admit. But I would say this, yes, you know, Don Liebern was an opponent to having Vince Dooley's name on it. And, you know, in his, the way I understand it, it just has to do in deference to the Sanford family. There are very stringent rules and stuff in the University System of Georgia about getting somebody's name on any building. There's supposed to be funds involved, fundraising involved, half of it or a third of it or something like that has to be paid in order for a name to get on there. Obviously, Vince Dooley or friends of Vince Dooley probably aren't going to contribute, you know, tons of money, but that's what I'm referring to with Dooley. His hand was involved in the fundraising and you know, everything that went into this stadium being expanded as it has been constantly since he arrived on the scene in 1964. So, yes, that's a long way to say, yes, I would think that if this change holds up and it's being tested in legal channels right now, that I think that would improve
sure,
Vince Dooley's chances of his name being on the stadium somewhere.
So let me kind of do one more thing on this, and I want to move on and talk about some other stuff. You know, why is it that Georgia, if you want to compare it to like Alabama, where every coach that's won a national championship has a statue, Florida Heisman Trophy winners all have statues, there seems to be this thing around the SEC where programs are very open to honoring their past and celebrating great coaches, great players. At Georgia, there's just a, I don't know, maybe I'm describing this incorrectly, but a coldness to this. You know, Vince Dooley has a statue, but it might as well be in Oconee County. There was a push to get Herschel Walker a statue. Chip, you probably know more about this than I do. My understanding is the statue was built, but UGA doesn't really want any part of it. I may be oversimplifying this or not describing it in the right way, but why is Georgia so, I guess, reticent to want to honor its all-time greats, which kind of puts it a stark contrast to what a lot of these other SEC programs seem willing to do?
Yeah, you know, it's a great point. It's something that I've, you know, hit on a bunch over the years. I mean, I do believe that there's no way that you could say anything other than Georgia has an aversion to statues. You know, they just don't like to put him up. And, you know, if anybody deserves a statue at the University of Georgia, it's Herschel Walker, in my opinion. In fact, there is a Herschel Walker statue. It was uncommissioned and done by a local artist by the name of Stan Mullins. And you can actually find it around town. Sometimes it's at his studio on Pulaski Street in Athens, but other times he'll display it, you know, at Creature Comforts or some other place around town. Now, you know, you can make an argument as to whether, you know, how people view it artistically is whether it's worthy of being the Herschel Walker statue. You know, normally those things are commissioned pieces of art where you designate an artist, pay him to do it, and then they go out and do it, as opposed to somebody doing it and then trying to get it commissioned otherwise. That's how the Dooley statue actually happened. Stan Mullins is the artist on that as well. But there's definitely an aversion to statues. Now, it just has to do with the university system of Georgia's policies, and that's what it comes down to. Georgia, but it's definitely, I mean, look at Auburn. Just go right across the state line, and you've got Pat Dye Field at Jordan-Hare Stadium, which just blows my mind because he never won a national championship. And, in fact, he went out, you know, was fired after getting the school on NCAA probation. That he has – I mean, that's just fact, okay? I'm not trying to be, you know, throw him under the bus or anything, but to me, and it's Pat Dye Field at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Nobody calls it that. Hey, you have Grant Field at Bobby Dodd Stadium. Nobody really calls it that anymore. So I don't know. Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium has a ring to it. But based on all the things that I told you about the expansion of the stadium itself, in my opinion, it deserves to be a hyphenation, which would be, a Sanford Dooley Stadium or Dooley Sanford Stadium or something like that. I don't know why Georgia is so reticent to do that. But, you know, at times they change. And I think over a period of time, we'll see some kind of movement to this effect before it's all said and done.
One more thing about the Dooley interview, which everybody should check out from DogNation.com. He was very supportive of Greg McGarrity in that, including being a little bit more, I guess, I don't know if forgiving is the right word, but understanding of the trade-off with Auburn. And that's a little bit different than some of Dooley's previous statements on that subject. He seems to have softened his stance on Georgia kind of losing that negotiation, which was, I think was kind of his belief to begin with, going back to some things that he had said on a radio interview after the Auburn trade was just happened, moving that game to October. What did you make of Dooley's support of McGarrity in the interview that you conducted?
Well, I was eager to see what he thought, you know, because obviously he was an AD for a long, long time. And I had also, obviously, we reported about the radio interview on DogNation.com, as we report on everything that has anything to do with Georgia. You can always find some remnant of it on our website. And but that, you know, I just asked him straight out, you know, what he thought about it. And he immediately, as he always does, answered it anecdotally and talked about, it was actually 1990 when all the ADs and SEC coaches were having to negotiate over what was going to happen with the expansion, adding Arkansas and South Carolina. And at that particular time, you know, Georgia fought like mad to keep Auburn where it was. And then his number one initiative was to get a bye, to get Florida and Auburn split up, because Georgia had always played Florida and Auburn back-to-back weeks. Forever. I mean, for Dooley's, I mean, for dozens and dozens of years, and it was tough. You know, Georgia playing Florida down in Jacksonville and then turning around and having to come back and play Auburn, usually with some kind of SEC title on the line, and he wanted to get some kind of bye in between there. He was able to get that, but that came at the cost of losing the Kentucky game in October, which infuriated a bunch of well-heeled Georgia fans who love to go to Kentucky and catch the horses running at Keeneland during the day and then get the game at night, which Georgia did for dozens of years well. So his argument is that it's tit for tat always. It's give and take, and it's never as simple as it is. And he did just boil down to, he said, look, I take him for his word. He said the coach, the head football coach, was okay with this. And he said, if the head football coach is okay with it, then we all need to be, because that's ultimately – what you're looking for is your coach to get what he wants.
A couple of other quick things, Chip, before we let you go. First of all, I hope people are checking out your previews of Georgia at the position battles going into spring practice. And there's one of those in particular I want to highlight for a moment. You wrote about the quarterback situation. Obviously, Georgia's a very different quarterback this year, given the fact there is no high-profile Jake Fromm versus Justin Fields the way there was in 2018. But that doesn't mean that the quarterback position isn't without interesting questions, including who that primary backup is going to be. I'm assuming that none of us are going to say too much about this until we see how some of this plays out during spring practice, but what are your early thoughts on Dwan Mathis, the pretty impressive 2019 signee, Stetson Bennett, the former walk-on at Georgia, now back on scholarship? What's your early thought on handicapping that Mathis versus Bennett battle to be the primary backup behind Jake Fromm?
Well, it seems pretty plain to me that Stetson Bennett's going to have to step into that immediate role of backup, you know, because the great thing about getting Stetson Bennett, and that was such a good get for Georgia right at the very tail end of the signing period, because, you know, not only do you have a guy who Mel Tucker and Kirby Smart's accounts and everybody you talk to who is exceptional beyond his physical stature at playing the position, but he knows the system. And this is the key with Dwan Mathis. Everything I've heard about Dwan, I haven't seen him play beyond, you know, his highlight tapes and those kind of things we see on Huddle and on the recruiting sites. But even in those, you can tell what you hear is the narrative is probably accurate. And when they say that he's a little bit raw as a quarterback, you know, and so there's just so much that goes in to playing the position the way, not just the plays and everything else, but they're going to come in there and James Cole, there's going to be a certain way he wants him to hold the ball, certain footwork. There's all kinds of stuff that they're looking for that has to be done a certain way. And Dwan Mathis is going to have to learn all that. Now, the great thing is he's in camp. He's early enrollee. Both of them are, and that's great, and they're going to be able to work on all that. But I think, you know, as we enter into the 2019 season, and God forbid, you know, Jake Fromm get dinged up, get an ankle twisted, get a concussion or something like that, somebody has to be thrown into action pretty fast. I think it's pretty clear that's got to be Stetson Bennett. And I think it's a really good thing that Georgia has him to turn to in this season.
Hey, real quick, let me squeeze in one thing before we let you go. I'm sorry for keeping you long, but Latavius Breeny has a brush with the law on Thursday night. I guess this is the second time that he's kind of been entangled with law enforcement here. Kirby Smart says this is going to be handled internally. Sounds like a little bit of a scuffle out in downtown Athens, which is not all that unusual, frankly, for really anybody to be involved with at that age in the city of Athens. But your overall take on the situation with Breeny, I guess primarily the fact this is the second time he's been mentioned when it comes to law enforcement.
Yeah, but the key on that, B.A., is obviously that he was cleared of any wrongdoing as the original.
That's fair. That's fair.
Thing that came up to him. And so, you know, if you're innocent, you're innocent. Anybody could be accused of anything. But what I take from it is just you know, based on Kirby Smart's statements, because you were wondering how is this going to stand up, that Latavius Breeny is going to remain with the team, and, you know, what extent he's disciplined and whether that extends to playing time, you know, we won't find out. We might not even find out when we get into the season, because if he plays or doesn't play, you know, Kirby's made it clear he doesn't make a pronouncement on discipline, just that, you know, it is handled in-house. I would imagine he'll have a lot of early morning sunrises with Scott Sinclair and the strength and conditioning staff at the very least. Now, he plays an important position for Georgia this year. He's a safety and a defensive back. Georgia needs a lot of help there. He's a guy who played a little bit last year, not a ton. He kind of got overtaken by Otis Reese on the depth chart, and if you've seen Otis Reese in action, you can understand that. But he's sounds like he's a player that Georgia's going to need, and it's going to remain with the Bulldogs under some sort of circumstances into the 2019 season.
Chip, great stuff at DogNation.com. We look forward to reading it. Thanks for spending a little extra time with us here today on Dog Nation Daily to chat about it all. We'll certainly look forward to reading you a lot this week and hopefully catching up with you again back here on Dog Nation Daily very soon as well.
My pleasure, sir.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
A couple things I want to respond to about what Chip had to say. Before that, though, Let me remind you about some cool stuff at Kroger. You can squeeze the savings. Save at Kroger this week on citrus fruit, including 8-pound grapefruit for $5.99 or 2-for-1 navel oranges. I've been told that these things are very good for you. So you want to take care of your health. How about an 8-pound grapefruit or a 2-for-1 navel, $2 navel oranges at Kroger? They're taking good care of you. Good savings on healthy food. That's good stuff from Kroger. All right, couple of things. First of all, Chip brings up a good point about how the field at Auburn is named after Pat Dye, despite the fact they had to fire him and move him out of the program. And really, it's kind of funny in college athletics how many examples there are out there of guys who have fields named after them or courts named after them who were actually fired from their school. Now, I know that Georgia doesn't want to be like Georgia Tech, and nor would I advise you to be like Georgia Tech, but the court there in Atlanta, at least the old one at the Alexander Memorial Coliseum, I'm assuming is the same thing with McCamish as well. That's Crimmins Court, right? At least it used to be. I'm assuming it still is. Bobby Crimmins got fired from Georgia Tech, too. So they named a court after a guy they eventually fired, but that didn't preclude them. The point is, if you're going to name fields and courts after guys who get fired, then for a guy like Vince Dooley, who served University of Georgia admirably for 25 years as coach and then longer after that as athletic director, this would seem to be an easy choice to make, although I can understand why the Sanford family and others like the idea of the name staying what it is. I thought it was also really interesting in the piece with Dooley from Sunday that he did talk about how he got a lot of grief when the Kentucky game got changed because of those horse races there, Keeneland and everything else. And I guess this is one of those things where people who've been in power understand the pressure of those who are in power right now, and maybe that's what's leading Dooley, at least to my eyes, softening his stance somewhat on the Auburn trade. And I know many of you are probably tired of hearing me talk about this. I do think it was a huge mistake for Georgia to so easily and freely agree to move the game with Auburn up. And the company line, both from Dooley yesterday and from McGarity and Jerry Moorhead, would seem to be that, well, as long as Coach Smart's happy with it, then nobody else should care. I'm going to, at some point in time, need Kirby Smart to explain why he's happy with this. He's going to have to give a real answer to this. Otherwise, I'm going to have to wonder what in the world's going on. Like I said, you know, a lot of you don't care about this. I think it was a bad mistake. At some point in time, Kirby Smart's got to explain what's going on about that. Mary Justice also asked in our Facebook comment section, we're going to give any love to the Georgia basketball team for beating Florida this weekend. Yes, we are, Mary. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Before that, though, a little SEC through talk. Let's talk about some of the things happening around the SEC. I thought this was very interesting. Nick Starkel, the former starting quarterback at Texas A&M, announced his plans to transfer. He's a grad transfer guy. He's got 2 years of eligibility remaining. And he spent a lot of time in Arkansas this past weekend. I want to say he's there for like 3 days or something like that. I don't know if that means that Starkel's going to go to Arkansas, but imagine for a minute if he does. Chad Morris is a very good quarterbacks coach. He's the head coach there. Arkansas has been terrible, but most of that has been due to really deficient talent. Morris had a bad 2018 class. They couldn't convince anybody to come there. I don't know if you've noticed, but their 24/7 sports composite rating for the class of 2019, they're top 25 class. Starkel coming in, I don't know that any SEC team. There's a lot of other teams that get more hype, a lot of up-and-coming teams that get more attention. But when it comes to truly improving your fate from 1 year to the next, I don't know that any program in the SEC has done a better job of that than Arkansas. And that's before a guy like Nick Starkel comes in the fold. Arkansas could become a fairly interesting team if you compare good quarterbacks Coach Morris with former starting quarterback in the SEC Starkel. This could be interesting to watch. I have no idea where Starkel's going to end up going, but he's spent a lot of time at Arkansas here as of late. Speaking of quarterbacks, South Carolina's getting going with spring practice, and there is a little bit of chatter coming out of there that Jake Bentley, who has been the established starter at South Carolina, still would be listed, I'm presuming, in number one on the depth chart for the Gamecocks. It is not a foregone conclusion, though, that he holds on to his job moving into the 2019 season on the field. It sounds like they're big believers around there in Dacreon Joyner, a more athletic quarterback who is certainly a very different player than Bentley. Bentley wasn't perfect this past year. Some people are going to suggest that maybe the play calling didn't always help him out the way that it could. I honestly didn't watch South Carolina close enough to know. But for a season in which Will Muschamp's in a little bit of flux, just given the fact that Once again, it's offensive issues that are causing him some trouble. Watch that quarterback battle there at South Carolina. That could be worth paying attention to. I also thought it was interesting that Parker Braun, a former, I believe, all-ACC offensive lineman at Georgia Tech, this guy that's had some success at the ACC level, was graduating, transferring out of Georgia Tech. At one point in time, I guess it was thought to be Florida as the favorite, or at least among the favorites, for Braun's services. But ultimately, Braun over the weekend chooses Texas instead of Georgia, instead of Florida. So Gators take another L. I would be lying if I didn't say I was kind of happy about that. But Florida does lose out on an offensive lineman that they probably could have used. He's going to go to Texas instead. And then finally, as I said before, we're going to talk a lot more about the combine stuff throughout the rest of the week in terms of the Georgia stuff on that. DeAndre Baker ran his 40 right before we started the show. I guess it was not thought to be a great time. Maybe it doesn't hurt his draft stock, but certainly maybe not helping himself with a big fast time there. So we're going to do a lot more combine stuff with Georgia later on in the week. But in terms of other SEC guys at the combine, DJ Metcalf, the former Ole Miss wide receiver, seems to be a real story here. How about Montez Sweat, the Mississippi State defensive lineman who goes out there? Was it a 4.41 that Sweat ran with the 40-yard dash? Incredible athleticism from Sweat. And then Quinnen Williams, the Alabama guy, also kind of shows out there a little bit too. So SEC guys impressing as a part of the NFL scouting combine this weekend, including a lot of Georgia stuff. Mike Griffith's been in Indianapolis. He's had good reporting on that for DogNation.com. Make sure you check that out, and we'll call that your SEC through. Okay, so here on Dog Nation Daily, we got a lot to do and only a little bit of time to do it. We're going to give away a Road to Atlanta t-shirt in just a moment. We are going to kind of wrap up the weekend from a sporting standpoint for UGA here in a minute as well. But I also wanted to go back in time. I mentioned this near the top of the program that Justin Robinson, the receiver, commits to Georgia over the weekend. Jeff Sintel recently caught up with him. And when you hear Robinson in his own words talking about his impressions of Georgia, gives you an idea how this recruiting machine works the Dogs right now. Let's take a listen to Justin Robinson talking about UGA ahead of what eventually became a commitment decision.
What do you like specifically about Georgia?
You know, it's just a feeling, just how you just get a different vibe from them. Like, this the place, you know.
What do they tell you? What do the coaches tell you when they're recruiting you? What are they saying where you're like, oh, they're pitching me right now. What do they say?
You know, they just... They make it feel like it's another home instead of, like, down here. Like, I can be up there, and they treat me like I'm their son, you know.
Hankton's recruiting you. Who else is recruiting you for the staff?
Kirby.
Kirby, huh? Yeah. What's Kirby's message? Does Coach Smart want you for the defense, or does he say you're a receiver? Nah, what does he say?
He wants me as a receiver.
Does he?
Yes, sir.
That means you might be a receiver.
Yeah, listen, I mean, Jeff Sintel made that very clear when he joined our program on Friday, that when you think Justin Robinson, think of him as a receiver. And when Robinson shared his commitment message on Twitter, he tagged Cortez Hankton in that. It's another example of Hankton coming up big for the Dogs here in recruiting, much like Todd Hartley, who we addressed off the top of the program. Some of these newer names that Georgia coaching staff already paying off in a big way when it comes to recruiting, that is really fun to see. And it's obvious when you look at Georgia's 2020 class, it has momentum. That momentum, we believe, is going to be taken on the field for the 2019 season, which means that Georgia very much could be back on the road to Atlanta again this year, early December, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, maybe even back after that for the Peach Bowl and that number one seed getting a chance to play close to home in the college football playoff and getting finally that measure of revenge and getting over what has been a nemesis for the Dogs, the Alabama Crimson Tide. We are keeping a good thought about that. We're giving away these Road to Atlanta t-shirts as a way to do that. Let me congratulate our winner from Friday, Shelby Weddle. Shelby, congratulations to you for being a winner. We collected your email, and we'll be out in touch with you very soon on all of that and letting you know how you can get in touch on that. But congratulations to Shelby Weddle, the winner of our Road to Atlanta t-shirt from this past Friday. Today, slightly different giveaway, same email address. Remember this, it's DND t-shirts. DND stands for Dog Nation Daily. DND t-shirts at gmail.com. Here's what I want to see. A picture of you having subscribed to Dog Nation Daily on the Apple podcast player. Many of you say, I don't have an Apple device. Totally understand that. We're going to do a lot of different kind of giveaways over the course of our time while supplies last. But in particular here, either if you're already a subscriber, show us that picture, or if you want to subscribe for the first time now to be eligible for this T-shirt, go ahead and do that. Send us a picture of you. Subscribe to Dog Nation Daily on the Apple podcast player. Send that pick to dndtshirts@gmail.com, and we shall give away another Road to Atlanta t-shirt tomorrow. So good stuff there. dndtshirts@gmail.com, just a piece of evidence if you subscribed to Dog Nation Daily on the Apple podcast player. All right, really quickly as we get ready to wrap things up here, congratulations to Georgia basketball on the road to Florida. How much fun is that to see the SEC losing streak for the Dogs snapped and a chance to keep up its winning ways against the Florida Gators? Good stuff from the Dogs this weekend. I love seeing that. And I think for Tom Green, who has stayed positive with his team all season long, I think they deserve that. I think that he's done a good job of, now when I say he stayed positive, I guess that's with the exception of the one time when he said he should have kicked some guys off the team. But other than that, he stayed positive. And I guess it all pays off to the tune of a win against Florida. A nice way for Georgia, for the players who stayed committed and stayed part of the process to feel rewarded. I was happy to see that. Baseball took 2 of 3 from Georgia Southern this weekend. Lost one of the games on Saturday. When Georgia loses, it's almost always based on, you know, some offensive stuff. But I know that Georgia Southern did get by one of those games in State Borough over the weekend. But Dogs take 2 of 3 there. By the way, congrats to Keith Mitchell, former Dog in the PGA Tour. Pretty good golf tournament, the Honda Classic, and Mitchell played tough down the stretch. That was good to see. Also, 856 days. That's how long it's been since Florida's beaten Georgia. As our Gator Hater Updater, we'll see you tomorrow right back here on Dog Nation Daily.